Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. It's Clarissa here. We are live again. We are going live a lot more than we used to, which I'm really loving, I have to say. So I'm going to call this We Go Live Wednesday because there for a while we were recording and it would take an awful lot of time to get the recordings out. And so we just decided we're going to start going live. I've got 8 different interviews today. We're starting out from London, England, or thereabouts, with a lovely lady that I've known for quite some time. And she does such good around the world, and she helps companies do the same, corporate, but not only. She's going to tell us about that and the impact that these companies can have for social good. Without further ado, I'm going to bring on Nolene Mariapin. There she is. Hello, coming. It looks like it's chilly over there. Is it cold?
It is cold, yes. And I had a little bit of an issue with my heating this morning. That's the very warm looking get up.
Well, yeah. There you are. So that's why we've got the furry hat
looks
on.
Like I'm the Arctic.
Yeah. So good to see you. So great to see you. Listen, Nolene, before we get started, I was hoping that you could give us a little bit of your backstory because I think it really warrants telling. And it's very telling as to, you know, where you can be in childhood. I love the rags to riches stories, and then where you can be some years later with a lot of hard work and tenacity. So can you give us a little bit of your backstory when you were living in South Africa as a little girl?
Yeah, sure. So I was born during apartheid in South Africa. And during the time, you were actually legally a lesser person if you weren't white, which is an interesting concept. So grew up during South Africa. We were very poor, but not as badly off as others. And the interesting thing was that we never actually felt like there was a difference between us and the people around us because so many were in the same situation. We were just kids. It was just our experience. And a couple of quick sort of side stories. The one is, and I recall this so vividly, my older brother and I, and how we used to try to find where the neighbor's chickens had laid their eggs so that we could steal them for dinner.
Wow.
And yes, so I'm a thief.
You're a survivor. I'd prefer to call you a survivor, darling. Go right ahead.
And and I guess, you know, I was always sort of thinking of the long game because then we didn't steal the chickens, we just stole the eggs. So
which was already very hard, what was very good of you to do. I leave the chicken and just take a few eggs. I met you some years ago when you were I know that you're very, very passionate about women and women's empowerment. And I was wondering if you'd give us a little bit of an idea as to what is it that impassions you so much about women?
Yeah. So coming from the background that I did and being from quite a conservative culture, there are sort of additional constraints on women aside from just having to juggle motherhood and, you know, work life and the, you know, so many of the institutional boundaries that there were additional, you know, societal and cultural boundaries. And for me, it was always about trying to improve the situation initially, just for my family and my friends and the people that I knew. And education and learning more and being able to get access to more people was how I saw that I could do that.
Right.
And thankfully was able to get to university as apartheid ended, on a scholarship and working three jobs, and have always then really wanted to continue to make a difference. And women, as I know it and have experienced it, are the ones who really drive community. You know, everything that they do is for the benefit of their family and the larger family, which is the community around them.
Right.
So that's always been a driving force.
Driving force, for sure. So I know that you you started your own consulting business, and this business, I wanted to understand from you, what are some of the businesses and the industries that are in your portfolio in the moment, and how exactly it is that you're helping them?
Yeah. So the consulting company is really, you know, because I love people and I love business, and it comes quite naturally. And I've got a portfolio of my own companies across industries. And consulting helps me keep my head in the game, but also allows for me to increase impact. So the consulting that we do ranges, and it's the, you know, run of the mill standard stuff, strategy, operations, you know, startup, growth, sort out phases, expanding into new territories. But what really moves me is the work that I do around impact. So the impact consulting work that I do, where we look at companies who, of course, you know, the aim is to be profitable, and that's what we work toward, because you can do more from a position of strength. And strength is often finances, and it's what you do with those finances that counts, and how it is that you actually do business. So it's about right. business for good. Right. So we work around the areas of impact consulting. We look at how people can align with sustainable development goals and be more sustainable, how they measure impact, how they can complete B Corp assessments and certification, and the meaningful impact that they can have in society. So starting, you know, within the company, all of the processes, working with people, working with communities, how, you know, what their governance is like, what their finances are like, and what they're doing for greater good.
Right.
And it's not always in the ways that people think, you know, so it's not always just, oh, you know, we're donating towards specific causes, or we've got this in our policy and this is what we aim toward. It's actually, you know, longer term, and how it becomes fundamentally sort of entrenched in a business. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we do.
How is it that it's measurable? How is it that when a company decides to go down a certain path, that they actually know that that is the path, it worked, it was successful, and it's measurable? How is that? How do you do that?
Yeah. So this is one of my major bugbears with this specific industry. And as an example, there are so many companies doing amazing work out there. There are so many individuals who are doing things for good. But when it comes to reporting, it becomes really difficult because, for example, there are 10 different main reporting frameworks that you can use. Within them, there's like more than 175 indicators that you use. And within those, all of the responses can be different. So one of the major things in the industry is looking at how do we create a baseline, because it makes it very difficult. And people just don't report because it's too much of a mission for them to do so.
Right.
But one of the there are a number of different indicators as to how people are doing and what you should be measuring. And some of them, you know, some of them are simple things that you could do, like, the people who are employed by you or volunteering with you, what are the different policies you have in place, and do you actually follow those policies? You know, are you paying everyone at least a minimum wage, or is it that you're, you know, into the freelancing gig economy and most of the people are sort of below market rate, but it's not captured because, you know, it's not captured. It's just, right. you know, a one-off fee. When you're looking at sourcing products, where are you sourcing from? Is it local? How diverse are the, you know, people within your organization and your suppliers? And in terms of impact in the community, companies can assess at different points in time. So you can assess sort of straight off the bat when you start implementing things like, you know, you're part of your, if you're a manufacturing plant, for example, part of the food that you produce is going toward a local community. That's very quick, easy impact. But longer term, what is the impact of that? And you can have more sort of longitudinal assessments.
Right.
As an example.
It's not always, because that was the next question. So then it's not always a one path. And is it ever, how do you find out about who is in need? Or is it many times that who may be in need will come to you or the company themselves, and then you sort of sit down and decide whether that would be the greatest journey for you to go down, path for you to go down?
Yeah. So with the consulting and with a lot of companies, most of it is that they identify within their own internal strategy what might best be aligned with the business that they do anyway. So the example that I used, for example, food manufacturing, and they support with nutrition and giving food to the local community. Right. So most companies would decide what it is that they were going to work toward. Some just look at, in terms of that more direct, like quick, easy hits, would just donate to a local charity that focuses on, it could be anything. I mean, there's a really large company in South Africa which funds local cricket clubs, you know, and you wouldn't see the sort of immediate benefit of that. But when you consider that South Africa is a country that's crime ridden, and kids don't have anywhere to go, it's very easy for them to get into a life of sort of gang culture. And having a local cricket club that they don't have to pay for, where they get fed and they get trained and they sneak in other types of training as well, the impact of that is actually quite far-reaching.
That's extraordinary, though. Stop and think about that for a second. And I'm sure you have, but we've just learned it. And that is, we start out the show with you coming from South Africa and having to steal eggs in order to be able to live. And now you're living somewhere on the outskirts of London. Obviously, you know, you become a large city girl and a very successful entrepreneur at that. And now you're taking a look back at the country that you came from and giving back there. How does that make you feel? That has to be an extraordinary feeling.
It really is. And at the same time, it's, I don't know how to describe it.
Is it bittersweet?
Yeah. And also, you'll probably find the same. Sort of the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, and the more you want to know. You know, the bigger the world gets, the bigger the world gets.
Yeah.
And the more that I discover and the more that I help, the more, you know, and I'm not saying help like, you know, oh, I'm, you know, an all-knowing and come down and solve all problems.
I get that.
But the more that you see that you're able to do, and the more you kind of drill down into what's actually happening, the more you realize needs to be done.
Right.
And also the more you realize how sometimes there are such good intentions, but it's sort of misplaced just from a lack of understanding of how things actually work. And if we've got time, I'll just take a few seconds to tell you a very quick story about this.
We do.
So now with COVID going on everywhere, every country is hit by it. There are so many initiatives and sort of COVID response activities, and a lot of projects and companies which did have funds for different activities are now prioritizing them for COVID-related activities. And in some countries, governments can afford to support, and in others, they can't. So in South Africa, one of the initiatives, and I actually spoke to a friend of mine from university, and she's doing incredible work at the moment with an organization called 2030 Up. And they have a project called Street Kits, where they allow for, or they're starting to create a safe space and an environment for people to be able to go to. But one of the projects now with COVID taking priority is that in South Africa, they decided that the wealthier suburbs should try to support the poorer locations, like the poorer areas.
Right.
And they've matched up these areas. And very, very well-meaning, people from the wealthier communities are dropping off food parcels, but dropping off things like kale bread and, vegan treats, which are all probably very, very expensive, but just not what people would usually eat, and so they're ending up with a situation where, well, all this amazing, well-intentioned food might in some instances go to waste just because of like that lack of coordination and lack of forethought. There's so much more to doing good than just the doing good.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes
doing good can be just a smile, for God's sake, or holding the door for someone on the elevator, or giving an offhand comment. I can't tell you how many times I walk by a woman and say, oh, I love that top. Oh, thank you. And I'll just, and that was it. That's the entire exchange. But I'd like to think that, I said something honest and she was pleased to hear it. If I didn't like the top, I probably wouldn't have said anything, but it really doesn't take very much to be kind, does it? I mean, I think we really need to be, taking deeper dives into that. I do want to take a deeper dive into Success for Four. Now, it's a book and it's an app on Android and you can get it on the App Store. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So Success in Four is, it started off as an idea for a book based on science, and it's to help people achieve success, whatever success might mean to them. And, it could mean getting out of bed. It could mean losing weight. It could mean, doing great things in your business or learning something new. So they're all methods based in science, but that are shared in a way which makes it very manageable for people to practice. So four simple steps in under 4 minutes a day and to build habits for success.
Ooh, let's hear that.
So one of the big things that I found through the very many years, both in consulting and reading numerous personal development and self-help books, is you read them and you think, wow, that's amazing. And, I'm going to start practicing that and I'm going to practice that. And you read it and it's like, oh, wow, this is going to change my life. Yeah. And 2 months down the line, you just can't fit it in. You just can't, or you forget and you're reading another book and it's, it's out the window. Exactly. So the app was really built to help people to actually keep on track with that. And it's four areas. We've simplified it completely. The first is around motivation and inspiration. So you get motivational quotes and their bonus on different areas of life, physical well-being, emotional well-being, financial well-being, and that sort of thing.
Right.
And a bonus section which shares little videos from people who are in the area of work. Then there's a daily journal section. And the focus of this is really so that people can remain action oriented. So there's an action list section and you have an area for your notes for the day and your daily gratitude, because I think it's important to draw back to that and whatever that gratitude might be for the day.
Right.
There's a monthly review section, and this is where you basically look at your planning for the next month, but you look at the month that's been, what some of the obstacles have been, what you're planning to do, and also keeping perspective and looking at where you might need to pivot. So I think, that's quite important. So that's included
in
there as well. And a vision board section where you can upload images with a description. And a lot of people think of this as quite woo-woo and think about The Secret and, all of that. It's like, if you just imagine it, it's not really it doesn't really happen like that. And I always say, it's not just, see, believe, achieve. It's, see, believe, act, and achieve. And high performing athletes, really high achievers use visualization as a method to actually achieve. So it's about knowing what you're actually doing with it. It's not just about, having a picture It's also about the way, and the book obviously explains a lot more.
You can't see behind me, but I have two vision boards. One of them is spiritual and the other one is in the physical. So I overachieved on the vision boards. I just wish I had time to stop and take a look at them every once in a while, but they are right there. They're right behind us and they're absolutely
well, if you had the app, it would be on your phone, which I'm sure you're on constantly.
And so. There you are. So I do need to get the app. And since you're also in my mastermind, we need to be talking about that. Now, listen, everybody, that app and the book can be found on, again, you can get the app on Android and the Apple Store and the book on Amazon. It's called Success in Four. And obviously it's by Nolene Mariapin. I also am going to show you underneath. It's NoleneM.com. Am I saying your last name right? Do I say your last name right?
It's pronounced any which way.
Mariapin. Okay, I'm all right. Yeah, whatever. Mariapin. There you go. It's Maria. To me, it's Nolene. So there you are. Yeah. And I know that you've got an event coming up. I wanted to touch upon that. It's the Global Founders Entrepreneurs Summit 2021. Tell us a little bit more about that and how people can find you there.
Yeah. So if you go to my website, I'll be posting or even, you know, find me on LinkedIn. That tends to be where I am mostly. Right. Yeah, LinkedIn or the website, and I'll be posting updates. So the app is actually in beta testing stage and will be officially launched in about a week or two. It depends on how quickly the final approval comes through, right. Mostly on iOS. But with the event that's coming up as well, I'll be posting on LinkedIn. So that's going to be in March. And the purpose of the event is, you know, there are a lot of entrepreneur summits and there is a lot happening around business and there's a lot happening around women in business and that sort of thing. But actually the perspective and the experience of founders is a very, very different one. And actually looking at what some of the successes and some of the challenges and some of the ways that we need to shift, especially with everything and the way that the world is working right now, you know, how do we actually adapt for what's coming? You know, how do we prepare ourselves? How right. do we collaborate and how do we work together? And what are some of the key challenges that we're going to face? And how do we look at overcoming them? Because it's no longer just about marketing. For a long time that was the view. You know, how well do you market and how well can you sell? And that's changing.
Sure. It is.
So because the shift has gone from.
People will buy from companies that are doing, you know, well, as you say, great social impact, you know, whether it be locally, nationally, internationally, they do take notice. They take a look at that and they are more propense to patronize and to support a company that will do that. So what you're doing is extremely important. It's a really important piece in for all of us, you know, and I mean, the more we can all help each other, the better off we feel. Nolene, I want to thank you again for being here on the show
and
helping me to wake up here this morning in Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you so much for waking up earlier than usual to do this. I really appreciate it.
It has been it's been a real pleasure to see you because I don't get to see you much. I hear you more than I see you, but we'll be happy to see you again. I think it's next Monday on the Mastermind.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody. Stay tuned because at the top of the hour, we've got another phenomenal entrepreneur coming on. So you don't want to miss that. And for now, we're going to say goodbye to Nolene. Everybody, see you soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the Limelight.